What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? Corsair Gaming and Ant Lion Audio. We have an amazing show for you lined up because we have two special guests on our program this week. Both of them are from the Sacramento Independent Game Developers Association, the vice president and president. We have Bree and Gabriel. Gabriel also is an independent game developer himself. They're putting on an amazing event in April called the Sacramento Indie Arcade, and we're going to be talking about that. VGB has partnered with them for the month of March, so every Saturday we're going to have a different game developer in studio. We're going to play the game and show it off to you guys. So a lot of fun this month. It's going to be exciting. We're getting to our roots, independent game developers with an indie podcast, all that and much, much more on this week's
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. If the ish gets real.
Shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What's up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And as you can tell, this is going to be a very special show. We're a little bit late, if you're watching us live. And expect technical difficulties, because internet is hard, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, let's just kick this pig. Sitting across from me, the man who makes all this possible. Week in, week out, he puts his blood, sweat, and tears into this show. Aaron Carter, welcome.
You say too much, sir. You say too much.
What do you mean I say too
much?
You
protest too much. I do not. It is all you, sir. It is all you.
You're being too nice.
I'm always too nice.
There you go. Just being so nice. And
what's
just
up, everybody?
Now, we have kind of been talking about what's going on with VGB in the month of March.
Uh-huh.
And it's exciting.
It is exciting. We're going to be focusing on one of my favorite aspects of the video game world, and that's the indie scene.
We cannot describe how much we love independent game developers.
Yes.
They are everything that's amazing about the industry, and what the single one single thing that pushes this industry further. Like, look at the amazing indie games we've had in the indie boom, so to speak, in the last 3 or 4 years.
Just call it Minecraft.
Okay, Minecraft. That's what I was thinking.
The Minecraft boom.
Is,
yeah.
But so what happened is we were contacted with by some amazing people in the Sacramento area who do the independent Game Developers Association, the Sacramento chapter.
Yeah.
It's like Sons of Anarchy.
There's a Boston chapter.
These are Redwood Originals.
Yeah.
Here. And so they're throwing an event called the Sacramento Indie Arcade, where they're getting independent game developers united from up and down this great state. A one-day event that's coming in April. But to promote it, every single Saturday show that you guys hear from Video Game Bang will feature a local independent game developer. They're going to come in studio, hopefully most of the time, and show off their games, and we're going to get hyped for this event. And without any further ado, joining us on the show in studio, she is one of the what's your official title and what do you do for the...
So I like to talk to the people, and I don't even want to give you the official title because that's kind of boring, but I'm the marketing and like outreach person. So I go to the events and I go to the schools and I come on shows like yours and I talk about who we are and what we do and the party that we're throwing in April.
Let me stop you right there.
Yes.
There's no other show like this.
Very,
very sorry. I stand corrected. My apologies. I bow to you.
In fact, there's only one other show like this, and it's your guys' own. So you
yes.
guys have one as well.
So we're kind of simultaneously broadcasting together.
Yeah. I like it.
Simulcast.
Yay.
Did we just make that up, Aaron?
No, that's definitely been out for the longest.
I know. I'm humoring.
Okay.
You.
All right.
And then, so how do you want to be named? Do you use your first, last
do you
name?
Be named?
What do we call you?
You
Bree?
Can call me Bree.
Bree is what makes you comfortable?
Yes.
We were all about comfort in the VGB studios.
Yes, that works just fine.
Okay, perfect. And then also joining us live via Skype, What? Who are we, Aaron? Live via Skype guests?
Yeah. It's not satellite yet, but you know.
Still, I'm sure there's a satellite thrown in the mix somewhere.
Somewhere.
Gabriel, and I'm spaced on the last name.
Iglesias.
Gabriel Iglesias.
That's close enough.
Now, you are actually the head. Are you the president? What do you go by?
So I go by the founder and the chair for the IGDA Sacramento chapter.
That is amazing. And you're also yourself an independent game developer. You've been on our show once before, totally impromptu, showing off your game.
Wonderful, which was a wonderful night, and I'll never forget that. Very, very gracious for that.
That was fun. Like, that was, we were talking about indie game developers. He's in there. He's like, I happen to be an indie game developer. We're like, bullshit. And he's like, check this game out. And then we're like, holy crap, he is an indie game developer. And that was super fun. And so look at us now, maybe almost a year later, working together on this amazing event that you guys have for the Sacramento Indie Arcade. So let's get that like hammered down first. Where did the inspiration come from for this event?
So essentially the idea for the event came from a multitude of things. The first thing was that we in Sacramento did not have an incentive to do more. And to really take the talent that is here and do something more with it, other than your one-off game jams, other than, you know, some people who want to start things up. And Sacramento, as you know, has become famous for starting things up. And I personally, you know, where I'm from, starting up is not enough. You need to finish what you've started. Otherwise, you really haven't done much of anything. Maybe you've planted seeds here and there, but you haven't really finished what you've started. So I think what happens with the chapter was, you know, there was already a strong game developer group that was going on, but it just wasn't enough. There wasn't a direction. There wasn't the incentive. So I said, why don't we take this further? You know, let's become an official chapter, but let's just not become official just for the sake of title, because I'm the last thing I wanted to do this for was because of vanity. Vanity sickens me, especially when it comes to something we really love doing, allegedly. And so for this, the idea was, where can we go from here? Where's the talent at, and where do you want to go? So I essentially challenged everybody, including myself. And I said, well, how far do we want to take this? Who's in this with me? Because I'm in the thick of it all too. I'm in at no pedestal, and it just became a thing. Was, you know, San Francisco's laughing at us, Los Angeles is laughing at us, Seattle is laughing at us, because who the hell are we? It's so easy to forget that we're actually the capital of California,
right?
But we're not. But what are we doing?
Yeah.
And you know, so. So it was essentially a challenge to all of us. And obviously, as you can see, we're 3 years in with our Indie Arcade event, because the Indie Arcade, the IGDA Sacramento Indie Arcade was the big goal when I founded the chapter. Was we've got this end goal, but it's going to be a revolving end goal. And that's what it became. Who's making games out there, but where do you want to go with it? Like I said earlier, but how do we get people to actually notice what we're doing now where we didn't before? And that's where the Arcade Expo, now I gave them an incentive and now they were ready. And after the first two we've already done, with several hundred people checking our stuff out between both, now we've got this third one, and you know, we're aiming for several hundred more to check out what's going on, and you know, who's up. And now we've got people from Reno, San Diego, and the Bay Area coming this way for the third expo. So we're doing something.
So we got to meet, we met up at an amazing little local barcade, they're calling it, the Coin Op. And what I loved when you guys were talking to us about kind of the mission statement overall and what you guys stand for is how, even compared to other indie game dev shows, you guys have a different way of approaching it. Like you were saying that other shows, more mainstream ones, we'll call them, you have to submit money along with your game, and you might not even get a table. And so that sounds like it really sticks it to and screws the game developers. But for your guys' show, you guys went a whole different route. It's like a very reasonable number. Your game automatically gets in, and you get like four passes. Like, what was the intent behind that?
The intent behind that really was, it's on the surface, it's a cost factor, but furthermore, it was. And I don't know how to put this lightly. Well, okay, I think I can. Okay, I didn't think I...
Feel free. Go for it, man. This is the internet. You can say and do whatever you want. Just keep your shirt
on. Oh, boy. They're not ready.
I can curse and say adult language? Yes.
Yeah, this awesome. Is an adult show.
the idea was a lot of events, a lot of organizations, not all, there are very few that actually get why we're doing this and get the actual costs behind it. But I think there's been a very violent domestic assault on the concept of independent gaming. And cost, I think, is the main cause of all this. You know, you mentioned about the fact that you have an event, for example, that actually charged. And yeah, for those who have no idea what's going on with that, there was an event that I signed up for, but before you could submit your game, you had to pay, you had to pay a certain amount of money to even get considered. And that boiled me to no end. And so but it was a great reminder, though, that with our event, I was reminded of the importance of cost factor. Independent game development, there's a reason there are a ton of free tools out there, because we could not afford to do it otherwise. 10 years ago, no way in hell could we have afforded to develop anything without a publisher. And God forbid, the hoops you had to go through, probably sleep with a few people, whatever you had to do.
Oh, sounds fun.
To even get considered. And we have so many open source tools today. And for me, the big thing with our event was, we are not going to assault the independent game development community by charging an exorbitant amount of money, for them to even get considered and hope they'll get approved to get their game shown at the event. It's very, very difficult independent game development as it is already. And again, like I mentioned, we have so many tools today, but it's still not easy. There's a lot of us who are unemployed, and this is the only thing we have. We've placed all our hopes in this game and hoping someone's going to notice. And then there's others who have a family, and they don't always have the time to do this. And then there's, people like myself who, I got to work. I got to have a day job, a job that I don't particularly enjoy, because I'd rather be doing this. So the main thing was, preventing, cost barriers, and being able to make it easier for people to be like, look, I've spent whatever little I had to make this. I just want to show it to people. Because then there's the whole other barrier there, getting press and marketing it, and it's just, there's so many barriers, and I just wanted to make sure we did not contribute to that.
Bree, what can we expect if you're just hanging out in Sacramento area, you don't know too much about indie games, but you want to go have some fun? Why go to the Sacramento Indie Arcade?
So the Sacramento Indie Arcade is going to be a party if you just enjoy playing video games, no matter how old you are. We will have something for every age range. Whether you started playing with the Atari 2600s as a kid and now you have kids of your own, and you want to introduce them to that, we're going to have Bill Kendrick from the Davis Atari Party there. He's going to have a setup with the Jaguar and just an arrangement, a variety, if you will, for you to play with. We're also going to have the indie game developers, which is the whole reason why we even have this party. They're going to have their mobile games. Some are developing for consoles and PCs. We're going to have Capital Fight District there with their video game tournaments. Shout out to Jay for helping us with that. And they're going to have Street Fighter and Super Smash Brothers. And I think Mario Kart 8 is going to be there also. If you're interested in game development, let's say you love playing video games so much that you are interested in making your own games, we're going to have a really kick-ass speaker panel there as well, of which you guys will be a part of,
yeah.
Our special guests. We've got women in gaming being represented. We have educators in gaming coming out also. This year, we're introducing something new. Board and card game developers will also be showing their creations as well. So we're going to have a separate room for them to play and in a little bit quiet area. And it's just going to be a really fun event. It's all ages. If you want to dress up, come dressed up. Tickets are super affordable, and we welcome everyone. So, oh, and we're going to have performances. There's going to be DJs and bands, and it's a party. It's a celebration. Come celebrate our third birthday with us. We would love to have you if you love video games and all of that stuff.
It's definitely going to be a lot of fun. That's what this whole thing is about. It's about fun. It's about games, so we're going to get together as a bunch of geeks and gamers and just play.
Pretty much. Let's nerd out.
So Video Game Bang will be there. We will be helping in hosting panels. We will be doing the podcast live, much like we did at the Sacramento Sexpo. Is that what it was called?
Expo. Gamers Expo.
Sac Gamer Sexpo, like we did there. We're going to have, you know, the cosplay out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Raffles, giveaways. The way that I've been promoting it on Twitter, and it's really true, is this is Sacramento's number one gaming podcast partnered up with Sacramento's number one indie game development team. So this is something you're not going to want to miss if you are in the Northern California area. Not even if you're not in Sacramento. You're going to be traveling because the developers are not just from Sacramento. We got right. People coming in, you said, from San Diego. Is that far?
As far south as San Diego, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're really lucky. Really lucky to have these guys from San Diego. Like, they heard about it last year. They couldn't make it last year, but now they were all hell-bent on, like, tell us when the event is. And I've been back and forth with them for the past year, and finally they confirmed with me about a week and a half ago. They're like, yeah, we're coming up there. I'm like, oh my God, because their game is awesome that they've got coming up. So yeah, I'm ready for that.
That's gonna be exciting. So let's move on to a little bit of video game news, ladies and gentlemen. We will have the rest of the show. We will come back and talk about the Indie Arcade, but we got some news. And then also, don't forget, during this show, we are going to do our giveaway of Street Fighter V to one lucky patron. And we will do that after some of the news. So the first news story we have is that the PS4 is getting a major update. You're going to have the ability to appear offline. And most importantly, PC and Mac remote play.
That is the big thing right there. PC and Mac remote play?
Yeah. So the Xbox has this already.
Yeah, but now the PS4 does.
What's your point?
So we're neck and neck in the PC race? Or the console wars?
At this point, Aaron, I've fully ascended to PC gamer.
It's not ascending. Trust me. You have
These silly little feature battles are just quite quaint. Descended. In my opinion,
you have descended into the bowels of the PC hellhole. That's what that is.
What do you guys think? We have the benefit of having an indie game developer here in Gabriel. What's real here? When you are developing an indie game, are you thinking PC or are you thinking console?
I'm a hardcore gamer to the bone, and for me, it's as many platforms as you possibly can afford to put them on. For me, it's going to be Wii U, the PC, and hopefully PS4. But as a gamer, you know, lifetime gamer, you walk in my house, I own eight consoles, eight or nine consoles, plus gaming on my PC. So I will say, you know, that's a cool thing that PS4's, you know, with the PS4 that they're adding that. But we could battle it out all night as to who may be better than what. But the bottom line is the amount of consoles, PS4 owns the console base at this point, and they're not they're not going to falter any further. So I feel for Microsoft. So good job on the backward compatibility thing, but wow. Not enough.
Wow. Not enough.
Do you have a horse in the race, Bree?
No.
No, you don't care. Xbox, PlayStation, you just play them all.
I have an Xbox One, and I recently got a Wii U for my birthday. So, and I'm a Nintendo girl, I mean, since I was young and little, and I played on the original Game Boy. So I grew up with Nintendo. I don't care for the violent shoot 'em, you know, blood everywhere. I want to shoot bubbles and stuff.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Bree. No. Oh, wow. Why did it always happen to the sweetest people? This is what they mean when they say bad things happen to good people.
Oh, wow.
This is the epitome of what that means. I'm sorry. We have to cut you off. The podcast gods have decided that it's time to play What You Playing. We cannot stop this. It's an act of God. And Aaron, you're fully aware. Yeah. Man, I'm so sorry when this happens. Let's start with Aaron. Carter, what you been playing, sir?
A lot more Smite, everybody. Yep.
Come on, man.
New update came out.
There's more games in the world.
Actually, to tell you the honest truth, I played some Street Fighter V before I got on Smite. Yeah, I just, it was kind of those. So, when I was younger, I used to just play certain video games, but like with headphones on.
Okay.
And it was just like, I'm not trying to achieve anything. It's just mindless, repetitive play. So that's why, you know, one of my favorite games is Tetris. You know, I can do that with headphones on and just kind of zone out. Tony Hawk.
Oh, yeah. Tommy Hawk.
Just do like free skate mode.
Oh, yeah.
Throw your headphones on or listen to the soundtrack. Do that. So with Street Fighter, I just did the endless survival mode.
Yep.
Threw some headphones on. Just started fighting over and over and over again. That's all I kept doing.
And how are you liking the game?
That's what I got from the whole
all that.
I played a good hour, no lie. And after I was done, I was like, eh. You know, I mean, it's not a complete game. There's not a ton of characters that I can, you know, play around with. And then I just keep falling back to Ryu. So I mean,
he's
like,
the best. That's why.
Come on now, let's get with it. I need the story mode. I need some cutscenes. Need some something. Let's get with it.
Bree, since I feel so bad for having to cut you off, I mean, I really apologize.
It's okay.
I had no idea that was going to happen. It just happens completely randomly.
God hates me.
The podcast God must really hate you. What have you been playing?
Man, we can just skip me altogether.
No, we want to hear it. Are you playing Flappy Birds? Cell phone games?
Okay. No. I may be a casual gamer because of time constraints, but I have not touched Candy Crush. I may play Angry Birds every once in a while, but I have been playing my Yoshi Woolly World game.
Oh, you bad one. Filthy casual. But that's still...
It's so good. Cute!
Oh, it is. That's a legitimate reason.
And Never Alone. I really enjoy Never Alone. I finally downloaded that.
You said you were going to stream that game, right?
I tried, and then I didn't get very far. Oh, and I love my Forza Horizon 2 game.
Which one? The...
Forza Horizon.
Oh, Horizon.
Yeah. Already you're right, playing more right. legitimate games than Aaron, so I commend you for that.
I love to drive fast and like blast that music.
Because Aaron just plays Smite.
Yeah, the most legit game there is out there.
Oh, my gosh. Why don't you just like start the Smite cast? We'll just make a full podcast dedicated to
give
Smite.
Give me time.
All right. Gabriel, what have you been playing?
I've completed a bunch of games recently. When I finally had some time, but the ones that I'm actively rolling with right now, I'm playing between, Earth Defense Force 4.1.
Nice.
on the PS4, by far one of my favorite games of all time, next to 2025, of course, on the 360. And what the hell else? I've been between Axiom Verge and then there was one other one, but yeah, those have been I finally started playing Beyond Two Souls for the PS4 remake. I know it was on PS3 originally, but I started playing Beyond Two Souls on the PS4. Yeah, not too shabby.
I like that. Not too shabby. For me, it has been a lot of Street Fighter V, ladies and gentlemen, and I hit a slump. I was playing and I was like wrecking fools, like viciously. And then I hit this bronze level because
they have like ranks like that.
It's ranked, okay. And so now I'm actually playing against people who know what they're doing, and the game is not as easy as it once was. Hmm. Mr. Howard 123, one of our longtime listener, become a friend of the show. He gives me videos, tutorials, and I actually got to play with Senpai, and it was embarrassing.
Well, I mean,
it was like not. It was like a man beating up a small child.
Okay,
it was not fair. It was like I run out of similes.
So did you learn? Put it that way.
It was such a bad beating that I did because he was beating me with the most basic attacks, just with good fundamentals. It wasn't like he was using killer combos or you know, spamming moves. He was just beating me with fundamentals that I just did not have.
So, I mean, what happened to the transfer from 4 to 5? Like,
he beat my ass on that one too. It's not like it wasn't like, you know, I had a chance against him on 4 and now he's, you know, killing me on 5. And it's this reason, me playing against him, how I know for damn sure, Aaron Carter, that Lupe Fiasco did not even come close to legitimately beating Daigo.
He legit beat him.
No.
He legit beat him.
No. Even with good fundamentals, I can beat Lupe Fiasco, Aaron. I'm calling him out right now. Lupe Fiasco.
Call him out. He doesn't have to answer. That's the thing. He's right now in the studio helping me with my next album. That's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah. About to be fire.
I don't know. I've been in a slump with Street Fighter V. I just had two nights really bad back-to-back where I was dropping matches I know I should have won, and I just got to get back on the horse.
So, okay, so you've been playing on the ranked.
Yeah.
That's right, right?
Yeah, play on the ranked.
I'm guessing only Ryu.
Yeah.
Why not venture out? There are other characters.
Well, because I'm not doing well enough with Ryu.
Because I'm thinking everybody knows Ryu. Everybody knows how to beat Ryu because he's the most bare bones basic character.
Okay,
so we got some new people out there.
Yeah.
Armika, go ahead.
Armika, I heard won our local tournament.
So then boom.
But it's not like you can just pick Aaron. I can't just pick up a new character and then just, oh, that was easy. It's gonna take hours of research.
So then you put in the work. Do you want to be good?
Yes.
Well, you put in the work,
but not that much.
See, that's the problem. And that's and this is where you fail, and that's why nobody will remember your name, sir.
Damn,
because you didn't put in the hours.
You're spitting hot fire. That's messed up.
You know how I'm so great in Smite with Kefri? I didn't just pick it up and just be like, "Oh my God, I can save everybody's life." And that's no, put in the hours of work,
Aaron. You know I'm always looking for shortcuts.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem right there. Put in the work, everybody.
Speaking of work, Mortal Kombat XL is now available. Did you know that?
Don't buy it.
So you're talking more. Okay, why?
Mortal Kombat XL. So this is what, the complete edition?
Well,
is this with all the DLC and everything? Is that what I'm hearing?
It's Mortal Kombat Husky. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's got everything in it.
So all the new ones too, with the Xenomorph and the
yeah.
Okay. Don't buy this.
Well, I saw a thumbs up come from the video over here from Gabriel. Are you a big Mortal Kombat fan?
Oh, absolutely. I don't care for online. I don't really care for the online thing, but damn it, that game is so much fun. I mean, they need to bring the characters the special characters that they had in Mortal Kombat 9 so I could finally have Alien versus Predator, because that just has to happen. Freddy versus Jason, it has to happen. I don't know if it ever will, but it has to happen. So that's just me. But yeah, I love that game.
Are they done supporting Mortal Kombat? Is this their final bow out and then they're going to start working on 11, or are they going to do another season of more characters?
I personally think it'll be what happens with XL. So everything's money nowadays. So did we make enough off XL? Otherwise, okay, let's make something new.
Oh, that's a sad state of affairs.
And Brie, it's full price, correct?
It is, but if you already own the other parts, I think you get it Combat 2 pack for $20. Brie, you said you don't like
Twilight Princess is out too.
What was that?
Twilight Princess is coming out too.
Oh, there we go. Specifically to Mortal Kombat XL.
Yeah. Zelda and Mortal Kombat, yeah.
Brie, you said you don't like the violent games, so I'm assuming no Mortal Kombat for you.
Oh, no. I don't mind watching others play it. I just, for me, I suck at it. So I'm just, I need to practice too. I need to put in the work too. But like, I played Rise and I just don't like the killing aspect. I mean.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going around just being nice and Rise.
Well, obviously, there's no negotiation there.
Exactly, yeah.
But I want bubbles.
Well, I mean, they have bubble pop on the DLC or something like that, maybe.
That was the most adorable and the most offensive thing I've ever heard at the same time. So but, congratulations, yeah. Bree.
I can't win with you guys.
This is what happens in the game bank.
I'd love to step it up, though, and kick someone's ass in Street Fighter. Because I used to play in the arcade. Like, that's the last time I played Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. But
that's yeah. where, as it should be played. That's where it was meant to be played. When Jesus came down and on the eighth day made Street Fighter.
Wow.
He said, thou shalt play it in the arcade.
Terrible.
That's in Dalsim verse 5.
Yeah.
Ubisoft is worried about possible hostile takeover from Vivendi.
Oh, why?
Well, there's been trouble happening over at Ubisoft. Canadian newspaper The Globe reported that the company is currently seeking Canadian investors to fend off a possible hostile takeover by French media giant Vivendi.
What is Vivendi going to do with it, though? Like, it's not like they're going to just revitalize the Assassin's Creed series.
Well, frankly, something needs to happen at Ubisoft. I mean, is there someone...
Ubisoft thought they can be EA. That's what the problem with Ubisoft. They thought they can spin a mediocre game into a giant franchise like Madden and then come out with it every year and be the next Activision Blizzard or... I don't see this merger or this takeover doing anything.
What do you think, Bri?
So this totally explains why they had Canada's hot prime minister at their studios doing like this whole PR bit, because they're like, oh, Ubisoft's doing all these wonderful things. Look at what Canada's doing. I'm like, why is the prime minister there? Like, Obama's not coming to like EA.
Yeah, no.
You know?
I probably wouldn't vote for him if he did. Probably wouldn't vote for him.
Why not, Aaron? You don't want to see... Well, I think... See, before, whenever they were talking about the prime minister and stuff, they were really making a push for game development to be like a hot career. Mm-hmm. That's what they were saying. They're
That's
like,
a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, we really want to show support for this industry because it's making so much money. So, you know, politicians are even backing it as a career path. So we need more of that here. What, like, right now, do you think gaming still has that stigma of like, oh, it's only for nerds or Big Bang Theory?
Oh, it definitely does. It definitely does.
And if you had the president going in front of all these older people and you know, saying, hey, this is a legitimate avenue. This isn't just for nerds anymore. There's a lot of money to be made here. Like, that'd be awesome.
I don't think the president legitimizes it, though.
Who else can? The president?
Yeah. No, I still think.
What'd you say, Gabriel?
Nerds.
I said the porn industry.
There you go. There you
they
go.
Got kicked out, remember?
That will legit.
They utterly destroyed HD DVD versus Blu-ray, so if yeah. they can do that.
Yeah.
Who's stopping them? Well, remember, they were sponsoring esports. Was it one of the pornography
of the league,
websites that
yeah.
I'd never, ever heard of or been to before?
Exactly.
That I'd never seen. I would never go to those websites.
Welcome
but
to the lie hour.
My wife listens.
Yeah.
No, but, you know... Pornhub. Oh, Pornhub. That's
yeah,
the one.
Check it out.
Yeah. No, I can't do that.
Oh, okay.
But they were sponsoring esports, and they got their logos like censored and banned, and there was like an uproar.
Well, I mean, I can see if they were like flaunting the adult stuff everywhere on their jerseys and stuff like that for the esports players.
Like a picture of a dong
yeah,
on his
exactly.
chest. Yeah,
exactly. Then, yeah, the censoring. But if it's just their logo and
Team
stuff
Rock
like that,
Hard.
I can care less. You know. That's probably their name.
Yeah. That's going to be the name of my esports team. Definitely. Well, see, Aaron, people don't know this, but before we were Video Game Bang, I really, really tried to be our podcast name, The Bang Bros.
And you
oh, no,
been,
you did it.
Yeah.
No.
I'm still pushing. I sent a couple strongly worded emails seeing if they could revert the name to us.
And they will never.
Nope.
They will never.
They'll never. Capcom.
Can you imagine the Google searches for that?
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Look at the SEO off the hook.
Yeah.
Capcom wants Street Fighter V players to publicly shame rage quitters.
Like, how?
So right now, Capcom doesn't have a way to punish people who disconnect from online Street Fighter V matches when they lose. Until they do, the game's publisher is asking people to record rage quitters and put them on blast.
Nobody's going to do this.
I know one person in our chat has.
And that's sad.
Mr. Howard123 posts a video of him just completely wrecking a guy like a couple levels above him and got rage quitted on.
What do you think this will accomplish?
What hasn't public humiliation accomplished?
A lot. Look at Donald Trump.
Look, yeah, he's going to be the president.
Yeah, he's been publicly humiliated so many times.
Oh, I thought you meant he's publicly humiliating himself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So and how look does that at help how, him?
It's been amazing.
No, okay. That doesn't help the U.S. at all. So we've humiliated him multiple times, and still he's around.
So in the most recent status update post from Capcom, the publisher says they're still working on a permanent solution, but they want you to punish people who rage quit. The update reiterates that Capcom knows unpunished rage quitting is a plague in the game's community, and players are getting frustrated. It's a severe crime.
Severe
I guess in
crime.
The world of video games, it is a pretty severe crime.
Man, these crimes, though.
What a bitch thing to do, Aaron.
I know, it's
rage
a terrible
quitting
thing.
Is the
it's
worst
a,
thing
definitely
you can do.
A terrible thing to do. But what if they just made like a give up button, just like in MOBAs?
A surrender
button. If they had that in Street Fighter.
What do you think, Gabriel?
Where you could take a knee.
My problem with this is a couple of things. It's a big step back on for a number of reasons that we just don't have enough time for. I mean, because you know, gamers in general, you know, a lot of us have become so sensitive because of the nasty shit that people say online to others anyway for really stupid reasons. But now, not only does Capcom essentially, you know, they essentially made us the consumer their glorified beta tester, but now they want us to be their friggin', you know, their IT group to, you know, shame and you know and call out the people who, you know, who are rage quitting and being, you know, bad human beings. Get out of here. But what the hell else do you want to why don't we just buy your company? Because we're doing half your damn job for you already. So, but that's just me.
Make it take a knee button. That's all you gotta do.
I know. We could take the rage quitters, you strip them naked, walk them down a crowded street, and ring a bell.
That's
shame.
Horrible.
You know?
And then they get sued again for. For biting off of other things.
The update doesn't make clear what players are supposed to do with their videos or where they're supposed to send them.
There's not even a plan of action once they take the video?
No, I think it was just basically, I don't know, fucking, we'll figure something out. But until then, just publicly shame everybody.
They never gave like a hashtag Street Fighter shame or something like that? Nothing?
No. And
that's
so
stupid.
I want to know what happens when, like, you know, I'm playing a match and, you know, I use Comcast and they're not the most reliable. And I just drop a game, you know, is everyone going to assume I'm a rage quitter and just post me on the internet? I don't want that.
See, this is why you need to take me.
Yeah, it's true. E3 2016, the next Call of Duty is confirmed. Was there a question?
I don't know.
When has there not been a brand new Call of Duty to show at
E3? What year are we going? We going World War II? One? What are we doing?
Activision has teased that the publisher will be showcasing gameplay from Infinity Ward's ambitious new game. Oh, I love
ambitious?
That use of wordage.
Really ambitious?
Yeah. What's ambition to you?
More bishit. More like ambitious. That's a bunch of crap. Ambitious, please.
Ambitious is, to me, ambitious is Madden 2017. That's what ambitious is.
Do you think that one will make it to E3?
That's ambitious. Oh, yeah. That's definitely making E3.
In a post by the company's official blog, Activision stated that it'll be working with Sony to showcase the gameplay footage. It doesn't look like there's too many details on it.
there's going to be, this is what I can tell you for sure. Guaranteed in there. Predicting it already. There's going to be some multiplayer.
I don't know about that.
A very weak single player campaign.
Okay.
You're going to get a B-list actor to be in the campaign.
Or overpaid A actor.
No A actor would grace that anymore. we're done with the A's.
Kevin Spacey did it.
Kevin Spacey's A?
He did Advanced Warfare.
B so. Plus. At the best. And I love Kevin Spacey, but you're a B plus.
You're a B plus.
Yeah. You said A less. This is B.
I know. Sorry.
Ice T?
Yeah, sure. Done.
LL Cool J?
Nope. No.
Oh, no. Don't.
I sit on my bed and I stare at my wall. Then in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call.
Yeah, you're done.
He can just put his lips in the game.
Wow. You would like that, huh? No. Bree would like that one. Yeah.
Oops. Wrong show. Go on.
That's the Bang Bros podcast. Terrible.
No, yeah. And I don't know. I'm not looking forward to anything new from this one. Like, whatever. It's Call of Duty.
I'm ready for what they need to really do is not even Activision. It's going to be EA. And I'm pretty sure nobody at EA is listening right now. But Battlefield Bad Company 3, where the hell is it? That's what I want.
Yeah.
You want my attention on a shooter? Battlefield Bad Company Part 3. Come on, DICE. Enough of Star Wars. You tried. get me Bad Company 3, and then I'll give a shit again.
Yeah, Bad Company 3 needs to come. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one, and you're absolutely right. They need to put down the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because that was...
You tried. Stop. It's enough. Bad Company 3. Yeah. Just make up for it.
Microsoft to unify PC and Xbox One platforms, ending fixed console hardware.
What does that mean?
So Microsoft is planning to unify its PC and Xbox One gaming platforms into one ecosystem running universal Windows applications. The head of the company's Xbox division, Phil Spencer, has announced that it looks like that the Xbox One will become more PC-like with backwards compatible hardware upgrades in the future.
Okay, in other words, games for Windows Live 2. Yeah, stop. Just stop it.
Yeah. I mean, one platform to rule them all, right?
Well, this is a step closer to that. This is Bill Gates getting his... according to Snoop Dogg, Bill Gates does not have his shit together.
No, he doesn't.
Because he can't even play online with Gucci Mane. So now Bill Gates heard Snoop Dogg, and he's like, fuck it. We're just going to make it unified. I think it's a good thing. It's going to be a pain in the ass for, you know, your average Joe console user.
Yeah.
They're not going to crack that bad boy open and upgrade parts in it. Like, that's why, you know, everyone's on PS4s right now anyways.
Wow.
Well, they were doing the upgrades to DirectX 11 or DirectX 12 or something like that just so they can actually try to match the power of the PS4. That's still not going to happen if your games continue to be in 900p. So I mean if we're gonna take it there,
this is Phil Spencer went on to say, the culmination of the company's vision over the past year. In January 2015, Microsoft announced that it was bringing the Xbox app to Windows 10 PCs, allowing cross-platform and cohesive friends lists across both platforms. Then November, Xbox One was updated to be compatible with Windows 10, bringing a new interface and features to the console. In late January, Microsoft chief executive Satya Nadella told attendees that .NET conference in Madrid that it would be coming to Xbox One and didn't specify in what capacity. So, I don't know. What do we expect here? What are we seeing? Are we moving more towards a one-console system? Are we all just going to be PC gamers pretty soon?
No, I don't think we'll all be PC gamers, but...
Well, look, we're getting cross-platform already between PC and PlayStation 4. This doesn't happen all the time.
Give it about 4 more generations, and then maybe.
No, I don't think so. Maybe. I don't think we're that far off. Nah. I think we need, whether you're Xbox player, you know, playing on 900p, or whether you're on PlayStation, why can't we be playing together? It's time.
No, definitely. I'm full for playing together, yeah.
It's time to reach our hands across the aisle. No more of this Democrat, Republican, Xbox, PlayStation 4 bullshit. We all know it. We're all on the same fucking internet.
It's not going to be a hardware that brings everything together, I think. I think it'll just be some type of, I don't know, like some type of gaming
platform OS type of thing.
Well, like we said, with Street Fighter V, I'm playing matches on my PC against people on PlayStation Network. PC is just basically Windows, so why can't we have Xbox cross-platform with PlayStation?
That's a good question. Yeah,
it's a piece of paper, is what it is, signed by lawyers.
Write a letter.
I will. I'm going to write a strongly worded email.
Put it in the same envelope that Adam put his to George Lucas and see what happens.
Let's see here. Bree, what do you think of Mass Effect series? Have you gotten to play that one at all?
Heard about it.
It exists. She's like, it exists.
That's about the extent of my knowledge on that series.
That's an acceptable
Educate
answer.
Me.
Aaron?
Mass Effect is a futuristic sci-fi story that sets you as the role as Commander Shepard of the Normandy. And you are an elite agent of, a military, basically, And then you uncover a giant plot that's by a space alien, a group of aliens that is going to destroy the entire galaxy.
Oh.
And you have to save the whole thing.
So
it gets way more intricate than what I just said.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's the
that's the light version.
That's the, satellite view of what it is. Basically, what you need to know is that it made a shit ton of money across three series and,
people at the
end.
It was like Aaron in bed. It was great for the first few minutes, and then the ending just less than spectacular.
But people bought it. But people bought it.
But now they're coming out with a new one called Mass Effect Andromeda, and it's been pushed to Q1 2017.
I got to see gameplay, because the way they ended it, it tears everybody.
Gabriel
apart.
Says, good. How do you feel? What's the rule? When have you pushed a game too far back?
Ask Half-Life 3.
Is that one even in development and they just keep pushing it? No one knows?
They're never going to admit it. So, but yeah, ask Half-Life 3. And honestly, Aaron, you were just talking about how the way Part 3 ended.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, Part 3, it ended the way it did. But Andromeda is supposed to be completely brand new. Like, from what I had heard, like Andromeda is not going to have any ties to Shepard or that whole storyline. It's supposed to be all brand new.
Unless
they change something, but
that's cool. But I'm in the same universe. Shepard's story to me didn't matter. He didn't have like a unique background that I was uncovering as I go along the whole thing. It was you were kind of building your story as you go. You are Shepard. And the story that you're going through is your story. So you're, the information you find out about the universe and everything while you're playing all three games is all brand new. You're writing the story kind of as you go. Commander Shepard is just the avatar for you. There is no background story for him. Like, oh, he had a, shady past. Like, if you think of The Witcher, you play as that main character. He has a background. You play as, on Metal Gear Solid, you play as a Snake. He has a background. You know they have history. Shepard has a very vague one whenever you create your character that you pick yourself. Everything is new. So that world is going to be my history when I play Andromeda. All that stuff, even though it's all different, that whole universe is my knowledge of that game. So the way they ended it, without Shepard, just the whole universe, how it ended, I got to continue on knowing what I know about this whole universe, knowing what doors are shut to me on this universe. Like, it's kind of hard to pick back up and be like, okay, I can see myself walking through this door again, even though I know a lot of it was closed the last. And I'm trying to do it without spoilers. I don't know if you're ever going to play Bree. No, she's not.
Everybody dies.
But it's like the best ending that you get is still kind of just janky. Like, so throughout the universe, humans and a whole bunch of different other alien races converge on one point. They have this giant place called the Citadel. And there's these things called, I think, mass relays is what they call them. They're basically gates to get you around the universe. Teleporters to get you around the universe, right?
Yeah.
At the end of it, they shut all of them down. So
say I'm on one part of the universe and you're the other part of the universe.
Yeah.
We can't see each other anymore because they shut down all those mass relays and I can't get over to you and you're just stuck in that part of the universe. You might as well build a new life there because you're just stuck there. Your family and everybody is gone. They just shut all that down. No matter what ending you get, because there's multiple endings, that's what happens. And I was like, okay, so screw traveling through space anymore. You know, like, we're done there. Shepard's story, depending on, you know, what you do, he can either be some type of martyr where he, you know, dies, or actually pretty much he dies in every single one of them. Yeah.
I want to go back to Gabriel real quick, because as a game developer, like, we see this happen a lot. Games get pushed back. And there's like a sweet spot. Like, sometimes when a game gets pushed back, you're like, oh, okay, good. They're going to polish it and it's going to end up good. But then you get games that get pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And when they come out, they still suck. What's the, like, fine line? How many pushbacks do you look for before you start getting concerned?
You know, that's a really tough answer. That's a great question. It's tough to answer because, again, we look at, you know, I jokingly mentioned about Half-Life and the utter rage just even saying Half-Life 3, where half the internet collapses, and, you know, just saying Half-Life 3 because it's like, oh, when's it going to happen? Is it ever going to happen? But then we look at, and I'm going to use a very obscure game called Too Human.
That one had like 10 years of development time. I was working at GameStop when that came out, and when that flop hit, oh,
yeah, that was terrible.
I bought the last copy at a GameStop in Citrus Heights for $5, brand new, because it was like they were just getting rid of it. And so I have an unopened copy of Too Human, but it's a collector's item. And it's unfortunate though, because it's hard to say what the fine line would be. You really, as a game developer, you have to pay attention to your fans. You have to be, you know, when you communicate with them and you try to be transparent with them about how your sequel is progressing. You know, even if the game is in episodes, you know, how it's going, and then just see what's going on, you know, in the scene, and just kind of hope for the best. Like, okay, it's been 2 years, let's give this one more try. But I mean, I think it all depends ultimately on your transparency as a game developer to your people, and what, you know, what you actually do with that time that, you know, that you've been given to. Because I mean, I know for me, with, you know, Kinship, for example, Kinship's been going on since like early 2012, but like, we, you know, I mean we suffered many obstacles because of, I mean, mainly technical, sometimes just utter laziness from, you know, from people I don't deal with anymore. And it becomes a thing of, you know, how do you get through it? And you know, but it's ultimately communicating with your people and just saying, this is what's happened, but this is where we're going with it now. And people either dig it or they don't, but, you know, but at least they can never tell you. They never told us what the hell was going to happen. At least we had an idea, you know. But it's really, really, and I think ultimately it's the scale of your game. If you announce you're making an MMO and it never happens, yeah. So that's the other big thing, to just the scale of your game. How ambitious is this game?
All right, so that wraps up the news. What we're gonna do now is something I'm very excited about. So as you guys know, Aaron and I and the VGB team have decided to rededicate ourselves to Patreon, and we've been doing almost daily behind the scenes content. We give the shows, we post them there early, ahead of time, for you guys to consume. We ask for your feedback on very important decisions on stuff we're doing. Thank you guys so much for all of those who decided to become Patreon pledges. But what we're going to do now is we're going to do our first giveaway. And so what we're doing is a raffle. All you have to do is give a minimum of $1 a month, and you're entered to win every monthly raffle. Because it's in Patreon, what's different than like Kickstarter. Kickstarter, you give like one amount one time and then go away. We don't want that. We want relationships. We want you guys to be invested in what we're doing, because you're really helping make our dreams come true. So one way we can help give back is doing giveaways like this. We want to start big. We're giving away a copy of Street Fighter V to one lucky patron. So as you can see on the screen, nothing right now. There we go. That's my random number generator. We have 24 patrons at this point, and I'm going to generate a random number, and that's going to dictate who won the game. The number is 17. Who is lucky number 17, Aaron? Do you have a guess?
Top of my head, I'm going to say Starless.
Six.
I don't know if he's even on there.
Seven, eight, nine, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, Mr. Adam C. Wow.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam C. is the winner of our first raffle. We will, well, we know where this guy lives, so yeah. We will not have to travel far for shipping. What are we going to do next year? What are we doing
next year?
Next year's
right.
Giveaway.
Next year, giving away a brand new car.
No, and we're going to be doing the giveaways will scale.
Card.
They're going to scale based on milestones we set. So we'll keep doing some awesome stuff for giveaways. Wow. Chat is salty right now.
What's going on?
Rigged.
Rigged.
next month, we're going to be doing the same giveaway. But once we hit the next milestone, which I think is going to be $500, is that what we said?
I think so, yeah.
Which is an attainable goal. We're halfway there. We're going to be doing a full console giveaway.
That'd be nice, yes. Can't wait for that one, actually.
Now, we saw what happened when we gave Aaron a console. He cried.
I did not.
You cried, sir.
Trust me, I have no problem admitting when I cry, but I didn't cry.
So I'm expecting a full, like, when you have to do an unboxing of this free console you get, and you have to cry. That's the requirements.
It's going to be tough for some people. A lot of men's out there. That's what that is.
Is that what you think?
Yeah. Even the girls. A lot of men's.
So what is the single most, like, gratifying thing? Like you said, Gabriel, you have a full-time job that you have to do day in and day out. But what makes you continue to develop games?
Ugh. What makes me do this?
You're not getting paid from it. It's not like a, you know, where's the passion come from? Is it the creation aspect? Is it people enjoying what you've made? Where do you see the passion?
I think it comes down to, yes, there's a multitude of things. Yes, the people enjoying your dream, what you've come up with, and seeing the joy and frustration in their faces, that is such a, it's a wonderful, wonderful trigger to help you keep going. I think for me, it's finally chasing something in my life that allowed me to say, you know what, you told me I couldn't, but I am. That's it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what are you, stuck?
I saw the look on your face. It looked like you had something to say.
No. I just got a random text message from our winner, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's watching the stream and sent a text message.
He said he knew he was destined for greatness. That's literally his words. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Interesting.
It was interesting that he won. I think next time what we'll do, just to make it like a little more presentable, is we'll actually throw the names in a hat. That way we can't be accused. Well,
are we going to get like
people will always say there's cheaters when they're salty.
A hot cosplayer to pick the name?
If you want to dress up like Sakura or something and pull names out of a hat, that's
terrible.
No, I think that'll work. There's a small demographic of people who would be interested.
I saw Webb wanted to put himself up for a sacrifice, giving himself away for the next giveaway.
What's he going to do?
I don't know. A night with Webb.
A night with Webb.
That would be, yeah. Boy. He'll take you out on a nice dinner, you know, and then who knows where it goes from there. Maybe a movie.
Let us know in the comments section if you're listening to this, wherever you're listening to it. If that's what you want to see. If you would like to win a night with Webb, I think that's a deterrent.
Let's up it. Weekend with Webb.
There it is. Boom. Right. I'm upping it right now. Weekend with Webb.
Bree, hit us up. Where's the details for the social media if they want to learn more about the Sacramento Indie Arcade?
So Sacramento Indie Arcade can be found on Twitter at Sac Indie Arcade. We're also on Facebook. You can just search Sacramento Indie Arcade Gaming Expo. And we've got an Instagram, too. So also Sac Indie Arcade. We have a couple people taking over, doing an Instagram takeover of our account here this month, one of which is going to be Video Game Bang.
Yeah.
So, you know, you guys can go.
How do you feel about dick pics?
They're not enticing to me.
Wow. Oh, I mean, not you. I mean, on your. Oh, wow. That's just. That came out way wrong. I'm not hitting on you.
Clearly.
Ma'am. I mean,
geez,
you're wonderful. But, I mean, Aaron's going to have control over your Instagram, and he's known for dick pics.
Oh, dear. All ages event, y'all.
Wow. I love chats like, wow, Corey, nice with the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard.
Yeah. I see what you did there. What about Gabriel? I know you do Nascent Gaming. Where can people learn more about your video game?
So the best place would be on Twitter, because right now the Nascent Games website is under big reconstruction right now, so you're not going to see much of anything right now. So definitely stay up to date on our Twitter at Nascent Games, N-A-S-C-E-N-T Games. And I guess I can say our Facebook, but facebook.com/nascentgames. And then our YouTube channel, youtube.com/nascentgames as well. And also, finally, our Bandcamp. We have a Bandcamp. I never really talk about that, but we have a little compilation soundtrack of music, original music that that my team and I have done for various games that we're working on right now. So
awesome.
nascentgames.bandcamp.com.
I like it. All right, Video Game Bang 2016, doing it big. Oh, and because I believe in equal opportunity, Gabriel, how do you feel about dick pics?
There's a time and place. This isn't
That's probably the best answer we could have heard. Well, that's it for this week's show. We want to thank Bree and Gabriel for coming out of their way, hanging out with us tonight. Thank you to the chat for sticking with us through some early technical difficulties. For Corey, Aaron, Bree, and Gabriel, this is Video Game Bang. You've just been banged, and we will see you in April at the Sacramento Indie Arcade.
Thank you, guys.